8:42, Galesburg's Morning News. Knox Galesburg Symphony season opens this weekend, and it will be the final season for Maestro Bruce Pole, who is the conductor of the Knox Galesburg Symphony, and he joins us this morning. Bruce, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Tom. It's great to see you.
Well, good to see you again as well. So how many seasons?
Well, inclusively, this is my 35th season.
Wow. Yeah.
So I'm almost a middle-aged guy.
you're getting close. You're getting close. Well, you made it past what all the professional athletes do. Nobody plays that long.
So. Yeah, well, I'm trying not to be monosyllabic so that I won't. Although there are some wonderfully well-spoken athletes. I'm ready to move on from that.
Well, all right. Well, let's talk about the opener this weekend. You know, I had actually produced the commercial and the music I was told to use. I'm listening to that. It's like, man, I know I've heard that in a movie score somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And I was trying to think of what it was. But talk about what you have coming up this weekend.
Well, the highlighter is a great movie score, one of the classics, mm-hmm. An American in Paris by George Gershwin, which closes our first concert. It's just a chestnut. The first time I did it was the first time we did a show with Shirley Jones back when Admiral was – we had mm-hmm. the Pops concerts out at the Admiral plant. That's now Maytag, that's now gone. And it's a wonderful piece. It's quite virtuosic. I mean, it's really a struggle for any orchestra. So we're working hard on making it happen. It's a wonderful tribute not only to Americana, but to the standard orchestral literature as well. So yes, a great movie. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was an early color movie. It was made of American in Paris, and oftentimes, if you look up on the web, you look up American in Paris. That's the first thing you'll see mm-hmm. because of the it's closer in proximity because the piece itself was composed in 1928.
Wow! And I was thinking that, you know, I was telling the guys earlier when I would hear that commercial and when I was producing, I was thinking, and I don't know for sure, but something like the movie Platoon in some point where Charlie Sheen was narrating that something like that.
But well, actually, Platoon uses the Ride of the Valkyries from Richard Wagner's opera, the Valkyra, which is done bum ba dum bum bum mm-hmm. that one, mm-hmm. you know.
But there was just some like portion when he was narrating it.
Well, there's another piece that was actually used in Apocalypse Now, which was also used in The Elephant Man and a variety of other films.
Okay.
It's Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings. It's mm-hmm. again, it's a piece that everyone will know, but might not know the composer. It's just one of the most beautiful pieces of music by an iconic American composer. He was a student at the Curtis Institute, and he wrote this piece, and he submitted it to Arturo Toscanini, who was conducting the NBC Symphony, and Toscanini suggested – it was a string quartet, and Toscanini said, well, why don't you make this for string orchestra? So that's the version mm-hmm. that everyone knows. Wonderful, wonderful, stunningly beautiful piece of music by one of our great American composers. So we have two Americans. The third American, of course, is another piece you probably heard on film, which is Lincoln Portrait. We first did it here when Senator Charles Percy was here and coming down from Chicago, and that was
two or three years ago.
Well, that was my first concert
first,
here.
First, well, first
I'll,
one,
I'll
wow.
never forget his entourage, which was very pleasant and everything. Mm-hmm. And they at the rehearsal, one of the entourage came up to me and says, I never knew you had anything like this in Galesburg. And, of course, I'm in my early 30s at that point. And says, yeah, I didn't know where Chicago was.
Well, you know, being from L.A. and all, right?
I had this narrow view. I was born in New York. We moved to Southern mm-hmm. California. I thought there were two places, and it was it was an annoyance to get from one place to the other.
Right, yeah. There's whatever in between, right?
And I remember one summer I went up to the Aspen Music Festival, which is populated primarily by students from Juilliard, and I mean, it was a real East Coast thing. Mm-hmm. And it just dawned on me. I mean, this drove through the country, stopped in Beaver, Utah, overnight. I mean, it just opened my eyes. What a wonderful country we have. Not only all 50 states of us, but the remarkable spectrum of landscape and customs and cultures and, If you never went anyplace else, you'd go to the United States. I'm so enamored by the notion that we have such a wonderful country that's so rich in so many possibilities that I hope people ultimately spend their money here and see the great sights. I know Louise and I, we're going to spend, when we retire, we're going to spend a week at the Smithsonian. We're going to spend how can you not spend a week in D.C. To see things we've never seen before? But we're going to go to the canyon, and we're going to go to South Dakota, and I mean to Rushmore and see Mount Shasta and all these other things that you never get a chance to see because they're not publicized enough.
And that's me, honestly. People talk, oh, I'd like to go to Europe, this or that. I have no desire because there's too much here that I haven't seen.
Well, having been to Europe quite a number of times, mm-hmm. I can tell you, Europe is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Of course, you look at tradition, but we have traditions too. And the fact is, you understand the currency and you can speak the language.
Right.
The United States has so much to offer, and I'm certainly not against travel. Travel is wonderful. We have terrific off-campus study programs at Knox College. But if you haven't seen all 50 states, or you haven't seen New Hampshire, which I've never seen.
That one I have been to, believe it or not.
If you think of New York and you haven't been outside of the city, like I was in upstate, and I couldn't believe what I saw up there. It's just beautiful and stunning. I mean, we're so fortunate to live in this country. So at any rate, we are doing Lincoln's portrait, mm-hmm. A Lincoln portrait by Aaron Copland, which is about the Gettysburg Address, mm-hmm. and about other very important, prominent quotes from Abraham Lincoln. That, of course, has been quoted in movies many times. The other piece on the program is just stunningly wonderful. Is Brahms' Academic Festival Overture. So if you probably heard of an old B movie or sometime, or they show a college campus and they're lampooning fraternities or whatever they are, they're probably showing this wonderful masterpiece by Johannes Brahms. So again, to review the program, we start with Brahms's great Academic Festival Overture, and then we move to Lincoln Portrait, which is being narrated by our own Terry Cavanaugh.
Yeah, she's got more than enough time to work on that now.
she's wonderful.
Yeah, she does.
The second
great
half
job.
Of the program begins with Barber's Adagio for Strings, and then we close with Gershwin's American in Paris. Tickets still available at the Orpheum Theater at 342-2299 to hear the Knox-Gilsberg Symphony, and it's 66 years old now, so you have to be kind of tender to it.
Absolutely.
And I'm looking forward to a great concert on Sunday afternoon at 3:00 at the Orpheum Theater.
Sunday, 3:00 at the Orpheum. Tickets still available. You can check the Orpheum box office and online as well. Yeah. Bruce Pole, Maestro Bruce Pole, joining us. He is the conductor of the Knox-Gilsberg Symphony. Your final season with the symphony, pretty much 35 years worth, on top of everything else you do at Knox and everything.
Knox, exactly.
So when did you make that decision?
Well, we made it a few years ago. Uh-huh. We wanted to make sure that our youngest, who's going to college, would graduate through. So she's up in school in Chicago. I do now know where Chicago is now.
You found it since then.
I love downtown Chicago. Having lived most of my life in L.A., L.A. doesn't really hadn't had the downtown like.
It's not a city like Chicago and New York.
No, it's spread everywhere.
Completely different, yeah.
And so Chicago has, everything in it's world class right downtown. You've got Grant and Millennium Park. You've got the Near North Side. You've got the Miracle Mile. You just can't help but really love downtown Chicago.
Yeah.
It was brilliantly architectured and structured, and Chicago is great. It's a great, friendly, wonderful place. But at any rate, when she will graduate this May, mm-hmm. Around Mother's Day, and then all five of our children have graduated and gone through college, and so we're very happy about that.
You did your job.
Well, we did. And also, the time I've spent at Knox College has been brilliant. Been able to – I don't have just a singular interest. I came as a theorist, but I teach music history and orchestration and composition, and I have a songwriting workshop, and I've taught avant-garde music and teaching 20th century, our entry level 102 class, Introduction to Music Now, and I love it, and I love the students, and So Knox has been an invigorating, wonderful place to have the privilege to be on the faculty.
Well, that was going to be my question. Were you just giving up the symphony, or you're giving it all up? So you're retiring from Knox as well, and
yes.
So you're going to get, as you said, get some time to yourselves and travel and
yeah, and see our kids. I mean, three of ours live out west. And one of them lives in Champaign. Of course, Julia will probably stay in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'll be spread around. So it'll give us good excuses to travel to places.
Absolutely.
It's wonderful. And Galesburg has been, is and still will always be deep and richly in our hearts. And it's a wonderful place, as Knox College, a really fine and unique college. Experience for students of an undergraduate.
You know, see, you talked about seeing different things in the country. Here's Harry Buckley, who since he's retired, had him on over the weekend on Saturday morning. He's visited every single presidential library.
I'm not surprised.
Not only that, the time before that I had him on, he's been to every single major league ballpark as well. I know that's something that you probably would consider.
Actually, that's something Louise and I have talked about because I've never been to Pac Bell. You know, so I mean, I want to see that park and I want to be around and I want to go back to Dodger Stadium and go up to see Wrigley and go to AT&T and US Cellular. You know, and so to see all the parks, to see all the teams, to see America's sport. By the way, Harry Buckley was the last person that narrated Lincoln Portrait for us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we did it with Charles Percy the first time. Interesting story about that. He came down and right in the parts are rented, and they say, do not mark in these parts, but if you do, make sure you erase them. Well, Senator Percy had a red pen.
Ooh.
He marked his entire score through a red pen.
Oh, my goodness. Well, he's a senator. He can do that. Or he thought he could do that, right?
I guess so.
Oh, my goodness. Bruce Pole is joining us, the conductor of the Knox Galesburg Symphony, starting his final season this weekend, Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock at the Orpheum Theater. Tickets available. Sounds like it's going to be a really great show. You know, it's interesting you talk about movie scores. And for people like me who, it's like, I don't know classical music,
right?
But yet there's a lot of us that we hear something, or if we say we don't like it necessarily, but you hear like a movie score and things like that, I'm like, I know that, and you might hear it somewhere else. Like, gosh, I know that. So in some ways, we all kind of know classical music, and you know when you talk about the movie scores, like, man, I really like that. That just, and maybe it's because of the movie. It just they make it just fits so well with what's happening. But do you find that from people that say, yeah, I didn't really know classical music, but I came and I decided to come to the symphony and listen. It's like, wow, I was just now I'm enamored by it.
Well, I did a research for a class called Rock Music 1963-70, and I found that there were a lot of groups that I knew, a lot of tunes that I knew, but I didn't know what the group was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who are the Zombies or the Troggs or the Kinks or the, you know, not just the Doors or the Beach Boys or Simon and Garfunkel.
Right.
Or the Beatles. So I think there's a lot of that to classical music. And there also is a long period of time when classical music was actually embedded into film for a variety of reasons. But so you would hear music by the great masters performed in film as a part of the film score until composers began to write music that was specifically for film. All the classical composers are highly, all of the film composers are highly classically trained. So a guy like Ernest Korngold or Dmitri Temkin, these are geniuses who, back in the old country, had studied at the Budapest Academy or had studied the major academy in their country and then come to the United States and made film music. I mentioned Korngold, for example, who sounds like Richard Strauss. Well, sure he does, because at the time Richard Strauss was tone poems were the most important works written for the early 20s protruding into the early 20th century from the late 19th century. So absolutely.
Yeah, and it's amazing how so much of it is timeless, because even something that may have been written, whatever, 1700s, sometimes they'll find a way to use that in a movie score.
Well, absolutely. And again, there were composers like, this is awful. Miklós Rosa.
I've been doing that all morning.
Miklós Rosa, who was trained in Hungary, and he not only did he write film scores like Ben-Hur, but he also was published by one of the most important classical publishers, Breitkopf & Hartel, out of Leipzig, and he had a separate collection of works that were published, and he wrote his concertos for the greatest the greatest performers of all time. He wrote a violin concerto for Jascha Heifetz. He wrote a piano concerto for Leonard Panerio. He wrote a cello concerto for Piatigorsky. And there's a very funny story. He wrote a dual concerto, or a concerto for violin and cello, for Heifetz and Piatigorsky. And Piatigorsky said, Heifetz came up to him and he said, you know, the cello has a little bit more than the violin. And Rosha says to Jascha, you know, nobody called him Jascha, Heifetz. He said, Jascha, he says, sit down. It's true.
Yeah.
But so those composers that we see attributed directly to film music were oftentimes classical composers for music outside of the classical period. They weren't as successful, of course, in the classical domain as they were in their film scores, but by and large, they were composers of equal quality with composers of quote-unquote classical domain.
Maestro Bruce Pole joining us this morning. The 66th season of the Knox Galesburg Symphony opening this weekend, Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock at the Orpheum Theater. You can give the Orpheum a call or go to the box office for tickets. And the final season for Bruce. And Bruce, we're going to get you back on again, and we're going to talk more symphony, and we got to talk some baseball as well.
So. We have to talk baseball because I'm rooting for the worst team in baseball this year.
the worst team, really?
They were the Phillies really helped us out actually by winning. They went like 6-5, and the Giants went 5-5, and the Giants were down in the desert.
Yeah.
They were 7 games behind the Padres. I mean,
that was kind of a weird thing. I don't know what's happened out there, but
the Dodgers, guys have good seasons and bad seasons.
That's true.
You know, the Yankees, who were the benchmark of the 50s, they didn't win all those all 10.
Right.
And I mean, they had good years and bad years.
Yep.
And the Dodgers won in 55, and then they won later against Milwaukee. And
odds on favorite this year.
Yeah. Well, you know, I saw something actually that Cleveland was. It was Cleveland, the Dodgers, and then the Cubs.
Yeah. Yep.
So we'll see.
We'll see.
All
right. Well, Bruce, thank you so much. Best of luck this weekend with the show. Hopefully we're going to get the Orpheum Theater filled up for the 66th season opener of the Knox Galesburg Symphony.
Thank you, Tom. It's always great to be on WGIL.
Thank you. Appreciate it. It is 8:59, Galesburg's Morning News.